Nityananda sahito mayachahibhete Nathahile rahite narikahite bayachite. Nityananda Prabhu then said, "We want to tell you something. Although we cannot stay without speaking, we are still very much afraid to speak." Yogya yogya tomaya sabachahi nivetite tomana nilive raja chahi yogi haite. We want to submit before you something that may or may not be befitting. The matter is this. Unless he sees you, the king of Orissa will become a mendicant. Kane mudra lai muni haiva dikari Raja doga nahe chitte vinna gorahari. Nityananda Prabhu continued, "The king has decided to become a mendicant and accept the sign of a mendicant by wearing an ivory earring. He does not want to enjoy his kingdom without seeing the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Purport. In India, there is still a class of professional mendicants who are very much like the gypsies of Western countries. They know some magical art and mystical processes, and their business is to beg from door to door, sometimes pleading and sometimes threatening. Such mendicants are sometimes called yogis and sometimes kanapata yogis. The word kanapata refers to one who has put a hole in his ear to wear an earring made of ivory. Maharaj Prataparudra was so depressed by not getting to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he decided to become such a yogi. Ordinary men think that a yogi must have an ivory earring in his ear, but this is not the sign of a real yogi. Maharaj Prataparudra also thought that to become a mendicant yogi, one must wear such an earring. So we'll chant 21 responsively. Deki base mukha chandra nayana bariya. Dari base pada padma ridaye tuliya. Deki base mukha chandra nayana bariya. Dariba se pada padma ridaye tuliya. Deki base mukha chandra nayana bhariya. Dariba se pada padma ridaye tuliya. Ladies. Deki base mukha chandra nayana. Deki base mukha chandra nayana bhariya. Deki base mukha chandra nayana bhariya. Deki base padma padma hridaye tuliya. Then? Dekiba, I shall see. Say that Mukachandra, moonlight face. Nayana, sorry, Nayana Bhaya, to the fulfillment of the eyes. Dariba, I shall catch. Say those. 바다 보며 Lotus feet. Lead away on my heart. Puya raising. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Nityananda Prabhu continued, the king also expressed his desire to see the moonlight face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his eyes full of satisfaction. He would like to raise the lotus feet of the Lord to his heart. Let's read it together. Nityananda Prabhu continued, the king also expressed his desire to see the moonlight face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his eyes full of satisfaction. He would like to raise the lotus feet of the Lord to his heart. Om Janata Namasya Gananjana Shaka Chakshomitamina Tasma Shri Rurve Namaha. I was born the Dr. Siddhartha, my spiritual master of my eyes with a torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. I'm just going to read text 20 one more time. Nityananda Prabhu continued, the king has decided to become a mendicant and accept the sign of a mendicant by wearing an ivory earring, does not want to enjoy his kingdom without seeing the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the beginning of chapter 12, the cleansing of the Gandika temple, and Lord Chaitanya's return from his South Indian tour doing Harinam Sankirtan, and he's arrived in Orissa, and the king of Orissa is King Prataparudra. And the king very much so wants to meet with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we hear in chapter 11, does not want to meet with the king. So the king has decided to draft a letter, and he sends the letter to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, petitioning to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and the Lord's devotees to help him see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the devotees have received this letter and they're deciding what to do with the letter. And they decide that rather than just approach the Lord and ask him to meet with the king, which they know is not his desire presently, they decide to just speak of the wonderful behavior of King Prataparudra, all of his devotional qualities. So when they go to the home of the Lord, they're quite nervous about this prospect, and no one is speaking. And the Lord is asking, you know, you've come here for something very important. Why are you not speaking? Why is no one telling me this? So Lord Nityananda, he speaks up, and he says that King Prataparudra will renounce his kingdom and being a king and become a mendicant if he cannot see you. And so in the purport, Srila Prabhupada of verse 20, Prabhupada makes reference to this ivory earring. Ordinary men think that a yogi must have an ivory earring in his ear, but this is not the sign of a real yogi. So this is a very, I feel, philosophical pastime, particularly the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and practicing devotional service. And it shows us that Krishna consciousness is about a change of heart, not a change of dress. And then actually, the dress does not define the Vaishnav. The Vaishnav defines the dress. Some time ago, I was listening to a lecture, and I heard this pastime of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. And one disciple had said that he asked a question to Srila Prabhupada: what type of person would Krishna want me to be? And Srila Prabhupada answered very simply, "You are very sincere." As if to say, how could we be anyone other than who we are? And that this devotee who's asking this question was so sincere that, and he wanted to please Krishna so much that he would be someone who he was not if that would be pleasing to Krishna. And is in fact Krishna's desire that we have to change who we are so that he loves us? Or is his desire that we have to be who we are so that he loves us? And so we see in this pastime that King Prataparudra wants to see the Lord so much, he's so devoted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu internally that he's willing to change his external appearance just to please the Lord. He's willing to renounce his kingdom and being a king and all of his material things just to have darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the mood of a devotee. But in fact, he's not a mendicant. And Prabhupada says in the purport, ordinary men think that a yogi must have an ivory earring. Ordinary men think that we must externally appear a certain way to be who we are. And that's not in fact true. Very, very early in my Krishna consciousness, I met a devotee who was doing Sankirtan, and he was preaching to me for some time, because I would always go to Krishna lunch. And I remember one day he just sort of off the cuff said, "You should shave your head." And I was thinking, I can't shave my head. I mean, what will happen? What will my colleagues say at work? Or, you know, I mean, I don't want to shave my head. Like, do I have to shave my head to practice devotional service? This was on my mind because I really respected this person. And some years later, about 2 years later, I did shave my head, and I wanted to, but at the time I was quite disturbed about that, and I was confused. You know, what do I have to change? What is the change that has to happen for me to practice Krishna consciousness? A few years after I shaved my head, and I had begun a preaching program in Jacksonville, help start a preaching program there, and it was the first program at the University of North Florida. And I just come from work, and I was just dressed in khakis and a white t-shirt, and I was dressed very nice and clean. And many devotees had come to this first program, devotees from Alachua, devotees from Gainesville, devotees from Jacksonville. And I was going to give the class. And before the program started, a devotee approached me. Again, a senior devotee, someone who I very much respected. And he said, "Where's your dhoti? Why aren't you wearing a dhoti?" And I thought, "Oh, I made a mistake." You know. And I said, "Oh, you know, thank you, Prabhu. You know, thank you very much." And I later thought after the program, did I make a mistake? You know, what's the proper etiquette for this? And, you know, I thought about it practically. Why hadn't I worn a dhoti? I mean, I'm wearing a dhoti now. I like to wear a dhoti. My preference is to wear a dhoti, actually. But in that time, place, and circumstance, was it appropriate for me to dress like that to please Krishna? Right? That's Krishna consciousness. Was it more pleasing to Krishna that I wore a dhoti to teach that program? And I decided that it was totally impractical for me. It was totally impractical for me to come from my job, find some unclean place like a bathroom to tie on a dhoti to teach this program. And not only that, I felt that I would feel out of place and that the students would see that. And I felt that it would impair my message, you know, the message of that Srila Prabhupada has given us in translating Bhagavad Gita. And I thought that that's not my purpose, you know. And in reality, most of the students would have an easier time connecting with me as a professional than me as a professional who is dressed in a dhoti. I think most of the students would appreciate more my behavior and my accomplishments in Krishna consciousness than me just putting on a dhoti. But this person was very serious and sincere, and I respect them very much to this day. But for me, there was nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong. You know, I had not. It was act. There was that was fine etiquette, just to be cleanly dressed. So my realizations have been about this. You know, Krishna consciousness is a change of heart, not a change of dress. Is that Krishna consciousness is not a mechanical process. Because Krishna is a person, and he's not fooled by us doing certain rituals and certain things externally to try to be someone we're not. Krishna consciousness is about realizing who we are. And the why we do what we do is at least as important or more important, because that's where the love is coming from. Why we do our certain activities, because we want to please Krishna. So King Pratap Rudra, wanting to please Krishna by renouncing his kingdom and dressing like a mendicant, it's that love that attracts Krishna, not the fact that he's a king or he's not a king. Krishna would love him if he was a king, and he would love him if he was a mendicant. But it's in his heart that he was so committed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that attracts Krishna. And this is why it's been beneficial for me to have a living spiritual master, because I'm in a very beginning stage of my Krishna consciousness, and applying the very deep philosophy of Bhagavad Gita in my life is something that's challenging for me. And having a living spiritual master has allowed me to learn how to best apply the principles of Bhagavad Gita in my life, personally, in my situation. So I wanted to pose a question. Have you ever experienced a time, or have you ever had an experience where you feel that you were judged for your external appearances? Maybe it's your race, maybe being a devotee, religion, maybe gender, male or female. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel like you were not able to achieve what you in your heart could achieve because of some externals that someone judged you based on? I just see head shaking. Yes. And have you ever had an experience where your behavior trumped your external appearances? Where the fact that maybe by the external appearances or situation of your life, you would have not been able to achieve something, but because of the way you acted, you were able to overcome that. Maybe not. So I can give one example. In 2005, before I met the devotees in 2008, and in 2005, I got sober from alcohol and drugs, and in my profession, it's very much looked down on if you have that problem. If you're diabetic, okay. But if you're an alcoholic, that's a big problem. So it's a mark. It leaves a mark that you carry around with you, having that. So I was quite fearful that I was not going to get a job, you know, because I had some criminal record, and, now I went to treatment, and now I was known as, you know, an alcoholic. That was my external mark. So what to do. I mean, give up. So I just did what was before me. You know, I just took the next right step. I just did the next right thing. And after time, after doing the next right thing again and again and again, and some time had passed, you know, I had some recovery under my belt. And when I went in for a job interview, about 3 years later, I was thinking, you know, what do I say? Do I, because there are a lot of questions on these applications. Have you ever done this? You know, if you've answered yes to any of these questions, and then, you know, please write an essay about that, you know? So I have to answer yes to a bunch of those yes or no questions. And, so I thought, at my job interview, do I bring this up? You know, am I going to get the job if I tell these people exactly, you know, who I am? And I decided that I would rather be at a job that accepted me for who I am than a job that would reject me because of who I am. Why would I want to work any place where the people were just, you know, ignorant? So I told them, I told every interviewer at every job interview my situation, you know, what had come of it, how I overcame it, and what my life is like now, how I've been completely transformed, and I've had a change of heart. And either it was the first or the second job interview, they called me like the next day and they said, we want to hire you, you have 2 weeks, we'll send you the application. And I was like, wow, you know, I was totally blown away. So it works. You know, when we have a change of heart, you know, our life changes. And we don't have to pretend anymore. People can see who we are based on our consciousness. People that are not, especially people who are not ordinary. Because in the purport, Prabhupada says, ordinary men think that a yogi must have an ivory earring. You know, so it's ordinary men who don't have an elevated consciousness that will judge me by my external appearances. A devotee will see me because he'll see my heart. And that's, in this pastime, what the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are seeing in Kim Pratapurudra. They see his heart. They see how devoted he is. They're so impressed that someone who is a king would have this much love and attachment for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is not a common road to follow for a king, apparently. So I'd just like to read a couple of Bhagavad Gita verses. Sahajam karma kaunteya sa dosham apina chadyat sarvam ba hi doshina dume na gnir ivaritaha. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. So there is so much fault that we can find in the material things that we do. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we need to give up those things, because if we do something else material, there'll be so much fault in that too. What we need to see is the essence of what we do, which is our behavior. If we just go around trying to change our externals, we're never going to be happy. And that's not what Krishna consciousness is about. The dress does not define the Vaishnava. The Vaishnava defines the dress. Our Krishna conscious practice will change our heart. And from that, our activities will change naturally. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastani Suni Chaiva Svapakecha Pandita Samadarshinaha. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast. So there's that photo in Bhagavad Gita of each of these persons, and in the heart there's the Lord, Paramatma. So if we can remember this picture, then we can see the hearts of others. Then we can see that Krishna is there with every living entity. We can see past the material covering, you know, whether they are rich or poor, what religion they are, what gender they are, what race they are. We can see the true person there. This is part of a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.24. Srila Prabhupada says, the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So it's our eternal constitutional position to serve Krishna, and so that activity is eternal. And so if we shift our behavior from a self-serving behavior to one in which we serve Krishna and Krishna's devotees, that is part of the process of having a change of heart. And Srila Prabhupada, he could see this in all of his disciples. He could see their desire to serve Krishna and their qualities, their talents, and how to engage them in the service of Krishna. What is the best service for this devotee? Based on their personality, based on their propensities. And he could see with equal vision that we're spiritual beings, that we're not the material covering. And he wanted that all of his disciples preach Krishna consciousness to others. And this is the sign, not only is this what changes our heart, but when we have a change of heart, you also see this activity, Sankirtan. I want that all my spiritual sons and daughters will inherit this title of Bhakti Vedanta, so that the family transcendental diploma will continue through the generations. Those possessing the title of Bhakti Vedanta will be allowed to initiate disciples. Maybe by 1975, all of my disciples will be allowed to initiate and increase the number of the generations. That is my program. Srila Prabhupada's program is to change the heart, change our heart so that we can realize our constitutional position. We can realize who we are. And he sees us all as his spiritual sons and daughters. So how does this process happen? How do we change our heart? And how do we know, how do we see someone who has had a change of heart? Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nastevya, 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 Gatir Anyata. So in this age of Kali, there's no other way to achieve self-realization other than chanting Hare Krishna. And so, chanting, japa, realizations will come to us through japa meditation. They also come through kirtan and through service. But it's very important that we spend, you know, a prescribed amount of time every day, whatever we can commit to. Maybe it's one round, maybe it's two or four or 8 or 16 or 32, whatever we can commit to, it's that time that we spend trying to personally connect with Krishna that helps us change our heart internally. And just like we do so many other material things on a day-to-day basis, this one spiritual activity is really important for us to do on a day-to-day basis and not haphazardly or whimsically. Because it shows when you love someone, you make a commitment to them. And that commitment is evident in your actions. And so if we love Krishna, then our commitment to him will be evident to him because he's a person. And part of that commitment is on a daily basis, is to do it because it's so important. Just like a relationship with your children or with your spouse. If you love that person, you'll make a commitment to them and it'll be a daily commitment. So japa is like that. It may be difficult, and Krishna knows that. If we're having a hard time with it, he's completely aware. But it's just the fact that we try. even if we can't be as attentive as we'd like to be. It's just the fact that we try every day, and he really appreciates that. And through that, we'll receive realizations, and we will have a change of heart. Because the Shastras show us, since time immemorial, that the Lord's devotees, they have a change of heart when they practice Krishna consciousness. Also, having a deep commitment to studying the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and being loyal to Srila Prabhupada will help us have this change of heart. Because Krishna consciousness is not something that, since we can't practice it whimsically, we need someone to teach us how. I remember how stubborn I was when I was very new and receiving the Bhagavad Gita and thinking that I would just read the translations without the purports, just so I can really get the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Now when I read Bhagavad Gita and the purports, almost every time, I've read it many times, but almost every time that I read it, I get something new and different, or it seems to speak to me right where I am in my life, reading Srila Prabhupada's purports. So we need a spiritual teacher, and Srila Prabhupada has brought this message unadulterated through the Parampara. And so being loyal to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, being loyal to Srila Prabhupada and studying his teachings and his books is something that will help change our heart. So how can we tell if someone has had a change of heart in Krishna consciousness? What will they look like? Will they be wearing a dhoti? Maybe, but maybe not. So we need to know. We need to be able to see what are the behaviors of a devotee. Because King Pratap Rudra is not looking like a devotee. He's looking like a king. But he was a devotee. And the Lord's devotees could see that. They didn't judge him based on the fact that he was a king. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord, of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshiping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Nectar of Devotion, verse 5. So, there are different degrees of someone who's practicing devotional service. So someone who's chanting Hare Krishna may not have yet had a change of heart. They may be undergoing the process of having their heart purified. Someone who's had a change of heart, though, and it tells us how we should interact with these devotees, how we should associate or not associate with them. Maybe from a distance, mentally honoring them. But it's that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service, they're free from the propensity to criticize others. So that's a sign of someone who's had a change of heart. If someone is criticizing or maybe even gossiping, we may see that they're chanting Hare Krishna. We may give them very great respect. But whether we'll take spiritual instruction from them is another consideration. This person will have control of their senses, which is a lot of what, or most of what the nectar instruction is about, especially the first few verses. So following the four regular principles shows that we have some control over our senses. So some purification has happened. We're beginning to have a change of heart. These things no longer attract us anymore. And we've made that commitment to chant Hare Krishna, which takes a lot of sense control to sit down and chant Hare Krishna for an hour and a half or 2 hours every day. So those are signs of someone who's undergoing a change of heart. Okay. So I just... I'm just going to play like 2 minutes of a clip. Yeah, you can play it around 4:18 or before. If not, I can try to play it from up here if you can't. It's a hard time.
When we understand the essence, then we can understand the real purpose of the ritual and the forms that are meant to facilitate and accommodate knowing the essence.
This is right off my life.
But all too often, we have a very superficial, external, unrealistic conception of our own religion. Long ago, when I was living in India, I had a very dear friend who was an 85-year-old man. He was a Hindu, devotee of Lord Ram, and his best friend was a Muslim. And they used to have interreligious dialogues between themselves every few days, and I would go discuss with them. And one day, while sitting on the bank of the Ganges, I asked him, in a country where there's so much conflict and so much suspicion between Islam and Hinduism, how is it that the two of you are such good friends? And he gave me an answer, which I've never forgotten. He said, if a person has a dog, if that person stands before the dog, three-piece suit, or in a t-shirt, or in pajamas, or in underwear, or if he stands before the dog naked, the dog will always recognize his master, even in different clothes, in different settings. He said, if we cannot recognize our God, he comes in different dresses, in different forms, in different ways, and teaches through different traditions. If we cannot recognize our God in these different ways, then we have so much to learn from a dog.
So I'd like for us to just meditate on this point, that Krishna consciousness is a change of heart, not a change of dress. And that the dress does not define the Vaishnava defines the dress. And try to see in others that spiritual spark, that propensity to do service. Because that propensity to do service, if it can be directed to Krishna consciousness, can cause that change of heart in others. And if we're sincere in our effort in sharing Krishna consciousness with others in this way, then we will have a successful Sankirtan. You know, that's a requirement for that's one thing that would make Sankirtan very effective, is to be able to see with equal vision. So I'll end there. If anyone has any questions or comments?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi Krishna.
Hi Krishna.
Thank you for the class. So I'm having difficulty grasping on this concept of qualities and so we are not this body, we are the soul, and we are Satchitananda, and I assume we also have like a package of our spiritual qualities. But then also we are in this material body, and you say that we are supposed to be who we are, and that's what Krishna wants us. But someone, for example, can say that he likes to sleep for 16 hours a day, and that's who he is, and that should be just accepted. But that's obviously not right. So, in a way, Krishna wants us to be someone else, but I guess he wants us to change. So I guess being who we are is not like a static concept, it's more like a dynamic concept. So the we are part can change, I guess. So the question is, when we go through a change in this material body, does it, or do the qualities that we have in the material body somehow are connected to the qualities of our, like, of ourselves, of our spiritual self? So like, when we change here, does it somehow affect us, you know what I mean?
So that's a very good question. That's a very deep question. So Krishna doesn't necessarily want us to change. He wants us to be happy. And so that's the very reason that we're in a material body. It's because he loves us and he wants us to be happy. So he lets us do as we will. He doesn't force us. And so we've chosen to attempt to enjoy, you know, a life with our own pastimes apart from Krishna. And we've been doing that for so many and so many births that we become more and more covered. Our natural self has become more and more covered with material desires. And so like you gave the example of the person who wants to sleep, that may be his desire. But his soul is still pure. It's still purely Krishna conscious. But right now, he's not able to really connect with his spiritual qualities because he has a lot of material desires that he needs to experience temporarily so that he realizes that the sleeping is not the process, is not going to make him happy. Why do people sleep a lot? Because they like it. You know, what happens when you sleep all the time? I mean, you get sick. You know, you become ill.
you can't maintain your body, and you can't function. I mean, you just can't function. It's so anything that's material, if we do too much of it, it's harmful to us. So when we practice devotional service, a spiritual activity, we gain realization about who we are, which it's eternal. It doesn't change. Our soul, the qualities of our soul have been there eternally. But, when we practice Krishna consciousness, we begin to get in touch with those characteristics, and we begin to, what changes is our behavior. We begin to use more of these spiritual qualities because we see how important they are, and they make us happy. And we see that our material, desires are not making us happy, and we become less and less attached to them. So we do have there is this duality of, I have these material desires, and as we begin to practice Krishna consciousness, then we start to have more and more spiritual desires, which is the essence of us. It's not that they become created, it's that they become uncovered. And the process that uncovers them is Krishna consciousness, and it takes some time. Although Prabhupada said we can be Krishna conscious in a moment, generally it takes time, and many births, perhaps, or one birth, or in a moment. But but the process is the process that was given to us through Srila Prabhupada, and we may begin this process by just taking prasadam. The person who's sleeping, he may be totally faithless. If we wake him up and try to, say, hey, chant Hare Krishna, he may kick us out. He may not want to talk to us. He may tell us we're crazy. If we feed him prasadam, chances are he's going to like it. And it's going to make him happy. And he's going to want more prasadam. So Krishna wants us to be happy. And once we get a taste for Krishna consciousness, ruchi, we start to see that there's no higher taste in the material world than Krishna conscious activities. And we gain more and more realization about what our spiritual qualities are, and we begin to transform. Internally, we become realized. Externally, we may act differently. People may not recognize us so much, like the old person from 5 years ago. Hey, Johnny, what happened to you? You look totally different. Come to the bar. No, it's all right. Sorry. If you're on home for spring break or something and you see your friends and they remember the old Johnny. You will have different activities. And that's an external transformation that's manifested from internal realization by practicing devotional service. Did that answer your question?
So you would say that our material qualities are not connected to our spiritual qualities?
We have to connect them. So we have certain talents, we have certain desires. And in chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita, it recommends that we mix our activities with Krishna consciousness, karma, nishra, bhakti. We start to do our activities for Krishna. I mean, not every activity can be done for Krishna. I mean, we can't slaughter animals for Krishna, but most of our material propensities can be dovetailed with devotional service. And that's the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness. We should think of, why am I doing this? Why am I going to school? Why am I working so hard? Why am I buying a new car? Is it for sense gratification? Because it'll bring me happiness? Well, after 150,000 miles, your car is going to need a new car. So no, that's not the meaning of life. So, but if I need this car, why do I need this new car? Or why am I going to school to work so hard? Because is it pleasing to Krishna? That's a good reason to have a spiritual master. What's pleasing to Krishna? So the questions you're asking are like very poignant to ask a Shiksha Guru. Because he'll know you personally, so he can help you piece together, which material qualities are, or how to change my material, activities to make them more favorable for Krishna consciousness. So we have both, but we can actually just change the why for most of our material qualities and just use them for Krishna's service. You're welcome.
It's interesting. In one sense, we don't have any material qualities, I think, as you were saying. That's the imposition. You know, at least as far as how Prabhupada seems to discuss it in the Hare Krishna mantra address. And then the process of Krishna consciousness isn't like an artificial imposition, but it purifies so the actual self-realization, so the actual self that's covered comes through over time. So we engage in the process of bhakti yoga to gradually purify the heart, so the actual self that's been covered becomes more and more prominent in our daily experience, our daily consciousness. There's one way to look at it. But, you know, you're talking about material body as if it's something separate from us. In one sense, it definitely is, you know. But in the other sense, it's a reflection, the subtle body, the gross body, of where we've been in our conditional sojourn. You know, it's sort of a reflection of the kind of consciousness, the kind of activities that have carried us to this point, which in itself is a reflection of the condition of where our heart has been at. And that's what we perhaps need to address in a purificatory process. So to come to terms with where we're at now and the body, the subtle body, our psychology is a reflection of that, is valuable to appreciate perhaps where we need to go, things we have to address now to move forward. That's a reflection of perhaps even deeper issues regarding our primal relationships with Krishna and so forth. So it's all valuable. It's not like, oh, you know, everything can be engaged. It's all can be very valuable stuff in the process of devotional life.
Yeah, so those material things become spiritualized.
Yeah.
Like someone asked Srila Prabhupada many times, well, you know, if he's a Swami, then like, why is he flying a plane? Or why does he have a watch, like a really nice watch? You know, those things are being used in Krishna's service. They become spiritual. The dictaphone, you know, just a machine. You know, you could dictate so many things, but when it was used to dictate, you know, his Bhaktivedanta purports, then that dictaphone became, you know, spiritual. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for this class. It seems like in the material world, the expression is, do the clothes make the man or does the man make the clothes? Unless it's the clothes that dictate the class of the man in the material world. In the spiritual life, it's the opposite, as you pointed out. But it seems when we're younger, we're less mature in our development of understanding, we expect the other person to change in a relationship, whatever the relationship is. We say, you have to change. We expect them to change their whole being, their whole heart. And of course, later on, he expects someone to change. But then it goes to the next thing, which is paradoxical, a complete paradox, which is, I don't expect you to change yourself, but I expect you to change your behavior. But then finally we realize, in order to change the behavior truly, we have to change our heart. So it's sort of a paradox. In the end, it's a paradox type of thing, which is sort of what we're pointing out. But it's interesting to compare the different stages.
And that's one thing that makes Krishna consciousness very, very nice, is that chanting Hare Krishna is the means and it's the end. So we get to taste the sweetness of Krishna right from the beginning, and by the process we become purified.
Hare Krishna, it was nice to hear your classes. Prabhupada explains that the innate nature cannot be changed. You know, so even if we become devotees, that's why we see sometimes such bad habits still after so many years. But concerning the dovetailing and the using your expertise, also Prabhupada explains that the devotees do the needful. So therefore there is a training period where even if we don't like it, we learn how to do certain things, because in that way we will be ready and trained, right? Myself, I'm not a pujari. I did learn. I did dress Rumini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles. And I was very happy and attracted to do it. But that was not my nature, you know. I always wanted to go out and do the preaching work and the book distribution or whatever. So, yeah, so it's nice that we get trained in this process, because ultimately at the end of life, all that is going to carry us a little bit further, right? We can't just say that, well, and I heard these from people, oh, that's not my nature, but I'm not going to do it. Because we do have that nature and cannot be changed, but at the same time, Krishna and Siddha Prabhupada have given us the opportunity to be trained within this lifetime. Hopefully, it'll be enough time to get trained a little bit, you know.
Yeah, so sadhana bhakti is not spontaneous. We have to practice it, and that's the beginning of devotional service. So we may not feel so comfortable in the beginning, but if we don't try it, then we can't really judge it either. So we, you know, it's something to be tried and to see what if we have an experience, and we're pretty much guaranteed to have, you know, the Krishna conscious experience if we just give some of these things a try.
Thank you so much, Sai. I always look forward to hearing your classes. They're very shastrically based and personal and honest.
Thank you.
Very good example. Thank you.
Thank you, Radhamika Mataji. Anyone else? Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita.